all the music first. You ready?
We're rolling.
Disco mood today, or what?
Who remixed this?
It's that Curtis Mayfield remix. It's different people. Came out a couple years ago. But I figured we kind of like bridged the gap between like some of our younger listeners and some of the older folks out there, like you and me.
So how long has this been out?
A couple years.
Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah.
Okay, where's he, man? They got a, this little, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. Move on up.
Okay.
It ain't the pain reliever commercial either, okay?
It's not the Soledad Brothers.
Yeah. That's what we gotta do. So how are you this morning?
Oh man, I've had my espresso. I was moving slow this morning. Had to take that cat. Get that cat fixed.
Well, I had a little bit of my espresso mix, you know, my coffee blend that I make.
This isn't bad. So what did they remix? What's the original version of the songs?
But never mind about the songs.
Oh, never mind about the songs. I know where you're coming from.
Move on up.
Yeah, you just want to talk. Let's listen to this. Well, here we are, the new year.
Happy New Year.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I wish it was.
Yeah, that's true.
What a mess. Let me see if I got
this. It's a mess, but I'm still glad to be here, though.
No, I'm still glad to be here. See, that's why we were born, so you can fight all this. You got stuff going on in Iraq and Palestine and Afghanistan and Pakistan. You know, we need one of those digital bulletin boards they have at Heinz Field.
And to say, at least we always got stuff going on here on the home front.
That's right, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, always stuff going on the home front.
Oh my goodness, I just can't believe it. If I see Dan Andorato on TV one more time, it's like he's the mayor. Withholds all that money.
Oh, the 12 million?
Yeah, with the 12 million surplus? All that so that he could whip the union into shape, and then he says he's going to use it for the bridges and the roads.
Well, you know, there's a whole thing behind that, you know. Just this past week here in Pittsburgh City Council started talking about utilizing the rail lines between Hazelwood and Lawrenceville to run a commuter rail system. And what we found out later is that money has just been allocated to these little mini railroads here in Pennsylvania to like improve their lines and stuff like that. So that's also very interesting that all this is going on at the same time.
Well, that's like, you know, building the tunnel underneath the river for $27 million to start with. And then, you know, but nobody could afford to take the buses.
But, you know, the thing about it, the whole thing about this whole rail thing, if you're going to utilize those rail lines, there are some other rail lines that haven't been utilized in years and years and years also. Like, especially like in the East End, that they could be like fixing up. Maybe like from the East End going out toward like the Allegheny Valley and stuff like that.
Or they could fix the railroads going in between cities instead of that being bankrupt. I wonder what Curtis would say about that one.
Move on up.
So where are we now? Got a digital camera?
Yeah, we gotta go get one.
We gotta do some promo.
We're gonna take our pictures so y'all can put it on the target. So there they are.
Okay, turn that thing off. Let's go get a camera.
Sweet Home, Alabama. Makes you think of
Eaton Park.
No, not Eaton Park. What's that movie? Sweet Home, Alabama by Tom Hanks.
Slaughterhouse-Five.
No. Forrest Gump. That's what it reminds me of. Every time I hear that song, though, it reminds me of Forrest Gump.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember, that's when he met Jenny, his Jenny. They was dancing in Sweet Home, Alabama.
Today's music is provided by Eaton Park in Squirrel Hill. Eaton Park does it all for you.
Are they underwriter of this program?
Yeah, they're we're going to walk out on the bill. Okay, so here we go. We're now it's like they just scrambled everything in Palestine, and it looks like they're getting ready to invade Israelis. What did they say at NPR this morning?
They have like 4,000 troops on the border, the Gaza Strip, ready to invade. And then I think they were interviewing one of the people from the Likud party. The guy who used to be in the Likud party talking about he was he said this is a window of opportunity for them to move in, you know, while the U.S. is between like the presidents.
Yeah, that seems real intentional. And neither side would agree to a ceasefire, which would have been good on New Year's Day for the Red Crescent. That's the Middle Eastern equivalent of the Red Cross to move in, but that never happened.
I also heard an interview this morning on NPR where they're interviewing a psychiatrist, you know, that has people there in Palestine, Gaza Strip, and he can't even go to his place of business to work. He hasn't been able to go there. And then he's getting like phone calls from people there that he usually sees that are like totally like devastated, like mostly women and children. So.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. Unfortunately, the only time that people take notice is when something like this happens, where we got 365 people and counting. 365 people and counting dead. And it says here that one of the Hamas leaders was killed. Today's January 2nd, 2009. The bomb struck the home of one of the five top leaders. And a $2,000 bomb was dropped by one of the Israeli warplanes. And this is very, very upsetting. This is just, it's once again our puppets, cutting their strings and doing whatever they want, whether it be Noriega or what's going on in Afghanistan. We gave them weapons to fight the Russians. Now they're fighting us. A phenomenal amount of money. Did Obama say anything about all this?
Not yet. We haven't heard anything yet. But I'm quite sure something would be happening.
Well, yeah, they could take advantage of the situation. The Israelis could take advantage of the situation because, you know, he ain't in power till the 21st.
Well, they could do a lot of damage between now and then.
You know, the interesting thing is, well, you know that our Secretary of State had just been to Israel, what, in Egypt, like, what, less than 2 months ago? So, we're probably setting all this stuff up. I don't know. What do you think about that? I think Condoleezza was doing that?
I think all of this has been ignored for so long by leftists and progressive and anarchist folk. You know, a few people were killed here, a few people were killed there. The wall goes up, and, you know, we're too crisis-oriented. Now everybody's upset about it because this has happened, and we need to be plugging away on this on a daily basis, not just, you know, moving our foot when it's stepped on. Well, anyways, I was in this used bookstore on the south side. Is it called Eli's Bookstore? Or
you sure are going on with these plugs today.
Well, they're also underwriting our show this morning. I stole a book from them. So here we go.
Okay,
here we go. This is from $3. It's called Soul on Ice. And the Black Man's Steak in Vietnam.
Are you guys ready to order?
Sure, I'm going to take oatmeal with bananas and raisins and brown sugar and soy milk. And Italian toast dry.
Can I have a breakfast smile? But you don't have any like substitute for the meat, do you?
For the meat, we can substitute either extra potato or a fruit cup.
Give me extra potato.
Sure. What kind of potato would you like?
Home fries.
Home fries?
Yeah. And whole wheat toast.
And how'd you like your eggs done?
Sunny side up.
Sunny side up? I can take that out of your way for you, and then I'll be out in just a bit.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, let me see. Here we go. The Black Man's Steak in Vietnam. The most critical test facing Johnson, he used to be the President of the United States, are the war in Vietnam and the Negro Revolution at home. The fact that the brains in the Pentagon seem fit to send 16% black troops to Vietnam. How many African Americans were there in the country then? 11%?
I don't remember.
It's 11% to send 16% black troops to Vietnam is one indication that there is a structural relationship between these two arenas of conflict and the initial outrageous refusal of the Georgian legislature to seat Representative Julian Bond. He's still alive. Because he denounced the aggressive U.S. role in Vietnam, shows too the very initiative relationship between the way human beings are being treated in Vietnam and the treatment they are receiving in the United States. We today, this is interesting, we live today in a system that is in the last stages of the protracted process of breaking up on a worldwide basis. Well, it hasn't broken up in 40 years. So, Eldridge Cleaver, man, Soul on Ice. I like that book.
Yeah.
Talks about his time in Folsom Prison.
I think I still got that book at home.
Yeah.
When I got it back in the 70s.
Yep. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. I just been through so many phases.
Remember the other book used to be out? Another book that used to be out was Dick Gregory, No More Lies, The Myth and Reality of American History. Remember that one?
Yep.
Yeah, I still got that, too. It's falling apart, but I still got it. I got that in high school, and that was referred to me by my high school U.S. history teacher.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Who's now retired.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Back in Upper St. Clair High School, people weren't referred to too much, although one English teacher kept on trying to slip it in there. Anti-war stuff and stuff about civil rights, but he got fired, so that's what they do to you in good old USC.
So, what did you and the family do on New Year's?
Well, my little girls loved it. They loved the fake champagne and they were jumping off the couch and screaming as the ball came down.
They're
already
jumping off the couch.
They are. They are. They're my little jumping beans. And Rebecca and I and the children decided we are never going to stay home again for New Year's Eve. We're going to go out like on the first, like a lot of people went on the first night.
Oh, well, you know, my good friend Roland Ford had that big soul line dancing thing going on.
Where?
At the...
At first night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where?
He started that back in the summertime.
No, where was it in all the... Was it in the building? Was it outside?
I think it was outside.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think it was outside.
It was freezing.
Or unless it was inside. I don't know. But anyhow, he did it. So that was great. That was a good thing. The first time he started doing that outside was at this past summer at Highland Park. They used to do it after Reservoir Jazz all the time.
No, what exactly is it?
Soul line dancing. You ever been to a wedding? You've been to many weddings. You know how they have like
too many,
like the DJ and stuff, and they get up and start doing a line dance and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay.
Well, it's like it's basically like it's more funkier.
Okay, what food has killed man more than any other food in history?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wedding cake.
Wedding cake?
I'll tell you, we got our work cut out for us. Right before Phil Berrigan died, he said, well, Vince will never be out of a job. And I'm trying to get something together so we'll have a speak out about all this on Valentine's Day at SEI, at the Software Engineering Institute in Oakland, so that we, a little CMU military think tank. But we're trying to get a speak out on all this because, you know, so much is going on. I was really glad to see 100 people showed up at the protest against the war in the Middle East. I was really surprised that a lot of people showed up, and the weather was really bitter.
The whole thing about that region of the world is, whole thing is first the whole geographical historical misrepresentation that started from the very beginning by calling parts of Africa something completely different. You know, plus this has been going on not just for the last 40 or 75 years, but for centuries.
Yeah, it has, but I'll tell you one thing. 2,000-pound bombs are not going to solve anything. This really shows that any type of answer is not going to come through a military solution. This is just, I mean, this has the threat of igniting the whole world, like the Iranian students took over the British embassy and raised the Palestinian flag in Iran, in Tehran, and we definitely don't need any more of that. We need to figure out how we could, we could all get along. That's why when people talk about, you know, militant revolutionary violence, I mean, we've got to find a way figuring all this out and people getting along, because it's just, you know, people, we haven't had to live underneath that, you know, but people have had to live with guns shoved in their faces forever in the Gaza Strip.
So what do you suggest people do here in the States to, like, mobilize?
Well, I think that it's just the old adage that we have to make the invisible visible. I mean, I think people are really upset and don't want this, and I think people need to be out in the street showing people that there is no there's no consensus that people are for this. But as long as people don't see any type of presence of a call for peace, they're going to think that, you know, that everyone's just going along with the program and there's going to be some apathy. So when those 100 people showed up in that bitter weather here in Pittsburgh, I think it showed people that people are not in favor of what was going on.
Do you think we could get like 100 people to show up for other things that go on that are of concern in our neighborhoods?
Well, that's what I mean. That's where they got us. If all we're worried about is our personal problems and our personal relationships and trying to put together a few dollars to live, then they got you. because, you know, you don't have time to rise up and storm the gates of hell, because you're worried about the fact that, you know, the money that you used to earn doesn't cover your bills, or that you're not getting along with family, or, you know, again, it's just, you know, if you don't have the freedom to get out and do stuff in the community, as well as doing stuff in the, you know, against these wars, then it's going to continue. So, yeah, we have to be, I mean, that's what Abby Hoffman said. He goes, I'm a community organizer who's concerned about international issues. We have to be involved in the community. And people aren't, because, again, they have two, especially here in Pittsburgh, people have two or three jobs just trying to keep alive.
Yeah, I mean, because just things that people could be, like, also mobilizing around, about, like, the violence in their communities, like, right in the street where you live, or maybe, like, the infant mortality rate, which is real weird since we have all these medical institutions here in Pittsburgh, but we have one of the highest infant mortality rates in the world.
Yep, we have the UPMC Kingdom, and my kids are so upset because of all the shootings that have happened in the last month or so, right in front of our house.
Yeah.
And my kids are not scared. They're really interested in trying to find out, you know, what we can do about all of that. But again, that's where the, you know, the system has it. If it could keep us working two or three jobs, we don't even have time to think. But yeah, there has to be some type of resurgence of being active in the community. We've allowed things to wane, and we've allowed, you know, different misleaders. Like, they had this community meeting where about the violence in Manchester, and the police came to head up the community meeting, and everybody just left. I mean, they don't want to hear anything.
Uh-huh.
The police. Okay, there we go. It doesn't have double onions, but...
Do you want double onions for your
audience? No, my doctor put me on this.
Oh. Did you need anything else?
No, this is great. Thank
you.
Some napkins.
Yeah. Yeah, the old adage that, you know, there's no such thing as a fat prophet. So it's time to trim up. Trim down.
All right. Take a break here.
Mean and Lean. This is, you're listening to Town Talk Radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is our fourth show.
Yeah, I forgot to even mention that this is Town Talk, but I guess you guys figured that out already.
This is our fourth show, and if you want to send us an email, we still don't have an email, but we'll set that up this week, we promise. This is Vincent Irene.
Kevin Amos.
Good morning.
Okay, here we go again.
And with some music. Let's play it for a while. So you don't know who remixed this?
It's on the CD, man. I gotta play, do the discography thing, and you're going the wrong way. You cut through the parking lot.
Now you're catching. Bird.
You drive like I do. You don't believe in, you believe in taking shortcuts.
And today's show was underwritten by Giant Eagle. Where every day.
Yeah, right. You're gonna wish.
Come on, read those liners.
I have to get it off first. You know I'm old, man.
You are old if you can't even do that. Just go like this.
You crumpled up the...
No, I didn't.
Move on up. And now it's all in silver. I can't read it.
No.
Eric Cooper remixed it.
Eric who?
Eric Cooper.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Oh, he's a DJ, man.
Didn't he have that body shop on the south side?
I don't know what he had, but he's a DJ. Well, a lot of DJs did remixes on here.
Did it come out on Curtis's label?
No. It came out on Universal or something.
They did like a series of these different remix songs from different artists. Curtis Mayfield, Nina Simone, did Motown stuff. That's what they did over the past couple years.
2009, Pittsburgh!
Yeah.
Pittsburgh! 2009,
party like it's
1999. Yeah, we'll party like it's 2009. Doesn't have the same lilt.
That is funny. See, and we're not going to tell you what we're laughing about.
You shouldn't talk about nobody,
well, you
man.
You talked that person right up, man.
Mayberry.
Talked that person right up.
Shout them up.
And if they would have seen this, they would have said, what are you two doing together? So
they would have run us over with their lost car.
Oh, my goodness. That's something. That's a way to end the show.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're fading away.